Isn't that beautiful that we just call him God? Come on, God, come on. More of you. We can never have enough. It's beautiful, and I truly believe God hears us. God is in the midst. God is attentive. Amen. Wherever there are two or three, I'm in the midst. I am there. So he is here. He's here, and it's really up to us individually how much of him we're going to allow
in our lives, in our situations.
So just thank God. Let's thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to bless. Amen. And you may be seated. We appreciate the Lord for all that he has done, all that he has given us day by day. I'd like to continue with the theme that we have for this year is increase, a divine increase. And in this month, it's the increase in relationship to each other. We want to increase our relationship with each other. That means, it means to grow. To grow closer, to grow stronger, and to do that, there needs to be change. So today, I pray and I hope that we can challenge all of us to just break away from the routine, break away from what we're used to doing, break away from the comfort zone that we have built ourselves around, and to launch out and to do things that are a little different for us. And you know, one of the things is that when we get into a comfort zone, we like doing what we do because that's what we do repeatedly, so we like it. So what we're going to ask, what the Word of God is going to challenge us to do is to break away a little bit and do things you really don't like. Aye, aye, aye. You know? So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at, to employ some sort of growth and some sort of challenge in our life. If you have a job and you've done it for 15, 20 years, you don't feel like you want to achieve more, you're going to be there. Some may call it a rut. You go, hey, you've been here this long. Why don't you go for a bigger job, a higher job? I just like it here. It's really comfortable, and I'm not really going to make any mistakes, and I'm not going to be, criticized. I'm just going to do that. So, amen. So, are you ready? Let's go into this. My brother's keeper.
It's an awesome thing.
It says here, Genesis 4:9. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's your brother Abel?" Hey, they're brothers. They hang out together. You know, I've seen brothers, I have three sons, and they communicate every day. For in the morning, noon, at night, they're on the Xbox together. So they call, my son calls me about every 2 weeks. He doesn't have a need to talk to me that much, right? But brothers, they're real close. Hey, bro, you want this? Hey, bro, I need your pickup. Hey, bro. So, Cain and Abel were brothers. And God is interested in that. So this is God. He says, "Where's your brother Abel?" And we all know that Abel was different than Cain. And Cain, he just didn't like the things that Abel did. And what he did, he killed him. It was the first registered murder, homicide, that happened. Okay, that happened. And when Cain killed his brother, he thought nobody noticed. He thought nobody cared. He thought nobody was interested, but then all of a sudden he hears the voice. Cain, where's your brother Abel? That's the way God is. He's not going to say, hey, I know what you did. He wants us to respond to what he's questioning us. He wants us to respond to the things that we've done. He wants it to come from us. It would have been way different if his response would have said, oh, Abel, I killed him, Lord. I feel like I'm inferior to him. I didn't really like. No, he said, what did he say? I don't know. He lied. He lied to God. He thought it was really common to lie to God, like God didn't know, that God didn't care. And then not only that, but he kind of rebels. He kind of snotty. You have any kids like that are snotty? You throw out the trash, you make all kinds of things. But he says, I don't know. And then he's lying. And then he asks the Lord, Am I my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to watch out for him? Heavenly Father, we ask you that today you can challenge us to be our brother's keeper, and that we can draw closer, we can have a better relationship, that we can do and step out of our comfort zone to see who our brother is. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. It's difficult to grow. It's difficult to go a different way that we're used to. And growth is basically a process, an increased influence to develop the other person. And that's what we're looking for in growth. I can help someone develop. I can help and intervene with someone to grow, to stabilize. I can be a stabilizing, whatever you want to call it, firm, stable individual to help the person. Thank you. Or I could just say, none of my business. None of my, I don't have to get involved. That's them. That's theirs. I'm personal. I'm real personal. You know, and that's one of the things that is uncomfortable is to try to mingle with other people. You don't have to get into their business. All you have to do is just reach out to them. I've been in my long years of adulthood, I've been a salesman, a used car salesman. I've been Orkin pest control salesman. I've been Amway. I hate Amway, but a salesman, salesperson. You know, and they tell you gotta have a good approach to the individual. Shake their hand, a good firm handshake. Yeah, hey, that shows firmness. That shows you're there, that you're connected. You want that person to buy what you're selling, and that's one of the things that's real difficult for a lot of us, is to step out, and you know all we need is a smile. Amen. All we need is just maybe a hug if you want to go that far. If you're a touchy feeling kind of person, do that. I'm kind of a touchy feeling kind of guy. I'll cry and I'll hug. There's other people that they can't. They just stay your distance. You know, a good personal distance is 12 inches, 18 inches. That's your personal space there. you get in an elevator and you're all like this because you don't want to look. Because in an elevator, you can smell the other person. Oh, my God. Okay. Here's a little song I want you all to sing with me. If you don't sing it, hum it. If you can't, hopefully you can remember the melody. So maybe in the shower on Thursday, you can say, oh, I remember that song. Okay. It says, and this is an old song. Russ Taft sang it in the 70s. And we used to all sing it. And it goes like this. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we can work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. You're my there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Praise God. As long as we... My, we need each other. My goodness. That's what Jesus identifies. He tells them, they will know you because you love each other. They will know you. You're contagious. And that's one of the things that, please, I'm going to ask you, if you're not one of these individuals that will go out of your way, you can't do these things that we're going to ask you, what we need basically is get closer to God, closer to Jesus. And when we get closer to him, we become a little bit more like him. Oh, my goodness. Draw an eye unto me, and I will draw an eye unto you. He'll be your closest friend. He'll be there for you. So this is the thing we need to do. We need to just walk up to God and say, I got to break these chains. This chains, you know, we sing that song a lot, so it can apply today. Break the chains of me not being able to reach out to that other person, to reach out to these individuals, to break the chains and let me do something different. Amen. Here's a thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. So an act, and you reap a habit. And you sow a habit, and you reap a character. And you sow a character, and then you reap a destiny. It's an old philosophy. Brother Aguilar might remember back in the 60s, the Messengers of Peace had a handbook that was for all us that were leaders back in the day. And that saying was in there, and I come to find out it's Ralph Waldo Emerson that said this. So what this says is think about it. Think. Imagine it. And the greatest thing you and I have, the most powerful thing you and I have, is our imagination. Man, we can imagine just all kinds of things. You know, I heard a thing about parenting and how much we want to spend on our kids. The best toy when it comes to Christmas, we want to spend this and we want to spend that. The study, it was made, and it came out to that the children back in those days, I don't know about now, they preferred to have a cardboard box. A refrigerator box, a box where the dryer and washer came from, a box. That little box would turn into anything and everything that they had. They wanted it. The imagination. That, spaceship, a boat, whatever. So our imagination is, I've got to be able to do that. Envision yourself doing what God wants you to do, to love your brother more, to love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? They asked Jesus. And we all heard, we all know the Good Samaritan, how he reached out to someone that wasn't even supposed to get close to. He did that. Why? Because he found out that that's my brother. Galatians 6:1-2. Brother and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit shall restore that person gently. My, here's the formula. When we find ourselves, when we come across someone that is kind of stumbled, just unexpectedly, he's just, not there anymore, or something's happening. And this is what happens. We can point out his faults. We can be judgmental. We can be, feel like that greater than thou. But no, it says, you that are spiritual, you that have the Spirit, you that walk in the Spirit, you that pray in the Spirit. He's making the big difference here. He says, do this. Restore that person. And not just restore him, but do it gently. Do it gentle. Okay, this is where we're having problems. I'm not real gentle, Lord. I take my kids and I slap them upside the head. Lord, that's the way we were raised. I had a conversation not too long ago with a guy that was raised in the middle of the city. He says, oh, man, and they carried knives and guns and beat up people and talking about fighting and all of that kinds of things. And with his kids, he slaps them upside the head. Lord, help me to be gentle. Help me to understand. Help me to be able to process things in a way that I can reach out to other people and help them. He says, but watch yourself, for yourself will be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. This is where it gets a little funny too, because, hey, we all have problems. And I can look all across here. You all have burdens. You all have troubles. You all have difficulties in one form or another. None of us are exempt from it. Some of us have deeper, harder, stronger, and some of us are real secretive. We don't share our problems. And then there's some that just let it all out, right? But again, it says carry your burdens. Carry one another's burdens. And it's kind of not fair. It's kind of, I got my own stuff. I've got my own family. I've got my own problems. But they're saying you need to stop looking at your own self and start reaching out to other people. No, this is where it gets like Jesus. This is like where it gets like Jesus. Jesus bore our sins. Amen. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares. Amen. By his stripes we are healed. By all these things. So the example we have is clearly about Jesus carrying us. So bear each other's burdens, brother. And the only way I'm going to be able to bear your burden, I'm going to have to reach out to you. I'm going to, thank God for those opportunities that God has given us to reach out to other people, and especially in prayer, intercession, travail. When we have an image of a person, and our heart goes out to that person, and even when we don't even talk to that person, we can travail in the Spirit. We can travail in prayer for that individual. When you have this, you have the gift of feeling pain that's not yours. I believe with all my heart that sometimes our bodies feel somebody else's pain. You don't know who it is. You don't know where it's coming from. Lord, somebody is suffering from this pain because isn't that wonderful how God allows you to feel that person's pain? That suffering? So that you can turn around and pray. And that individual, whoever it may be, you can lift him up. I'm going to lift him up. Carry each other's burdens. Amen. When I see a young couple, I see their burdens. I feel for them. Don't you? Okay. No, don't say yes if you don't. You know marriage is rough. They're going to have their difficulties. Huh? So pray for them. Pray for that young couple. Don't be like the world. I give them a couple of years. No. You know it's rough. You've gone through it. Many of you. For any little thing, right? You like your bread dark toast? She likes it light toast. And that can be a problem later on. So pray for that individual. Pray for that person that is young and youthful and single, that he's not tempted, that she's not tempted, that their careers, they're in the midst of careers and so on and so forth. Pray for them. You've gone through that. Share the burden. Just give them a hug. Brother, sister, I love you, and it must be hard, and that's it. It must be tough. Go up to the couple. Hey, man, altar workers. Walk up to these couples, hold their hands together, and Lord, just pray for them, a little simple prayer. You do it like this. Lord, help them with their conflicts. You know what they're going to do? How does he know? How does she know? Oh, my God. It's easy. Come on. Just do it. If you do it sincerely, though. Come on. Just don't be joking around. No, do it sincerely. Why? That's lifting up the burden. That's lifting up the burden. Why? Because we need to lift each other's burdens. Walk up to a grandparent that is raising their grandchildren. And just say, sister, I'm praying for you. Sister, just say, God, lift her up. Help her. Support her. Be there. One of my younger sisters, adopted two of their sister-in-law's grandkids. So if you can get it. Okay. They adopted my sister, their biological kids were already grown and married, and now they adopt a 3- and a 4-year-old because of circumstances. And I said, what are you doing? She says, we're going to raise these boys like ours. It was last year they came to PK camp. They're 17 and 18 years old. They're playing instruments. They're worshiping God. They're praising the Lord. I don't understand it. I wouldn't do that, but she did. She picked up the burden. She picked up somebody. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. Mark was walking home from school one day when he noticed a boy ahead of him had tripped and dropped all the books he was carrying along with 2 sweaters, a baseball bat, a glove, and a small tape recorder. Mark knelt down and helped the boy pick up the scattered articles. Since they were going the same way, he helped him carry part of the burden. As they walked, Mark discovered the boy's name was Bill. and that he loved video games, baseball, and history, and that he was having lots of trouble with other subjects, and that he had just broken up with his girlfriend. They arrived at Bill's house first, and Mark was invited in for a Coke and to watch some TV. That afternoon passed pleasantly with few laughs, and they shared some small talk. Then Mark went home. They continued to see each other around school, had lunch together once or twice. Then they both graduated junior high. They ended up in the same high school, where they had brief contacts over the years. Finally, the long-awaited senior year came, and 3 weeks before graduation, Bill asked Mark if they could talk. Bill remembered him of the years ago when they had first met. "Did you ever wonder why I was carrying so many things home that day?" he asks. "You see, I cleaned out my locker because I didn't want to leave a mess for anyone else. I had stored away some of my mother's sleeping pills, and I was going home to commit suicide. But after we spent some time together talking and laughing, I realized that if I had killed myself, I would have missed that time and so many others that might follow. So you see, Mark, when you picked up those books that day, you did a lot more. You saved my life." A small gesture of love and of concern. It doesn't have to be anything major. It just has to have just some sort of genuine concern and love. Brotherly love. Whoever compels you to travel 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. This is Jesus talking. The old custom was that they would carry their soldier's load for 1 mile, and you had to. It was the law. But Jesus says, go the extra mile. Do something extra. Buy somebody some groceries. Buy somebody lunch. Any little thing. The word restore, it appears many times in the Bible. Restore, restore. It's part of the ministry God has given us. That's part of the feeling God has given to us to restore, to build up, and to build other people up. The law of Christ, this is the second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the one that I just love. The way he expresses. He said, "My little children, from whom again, in the pains of labor, until Jesus completely and permanently forms within you." He says, this is Paul. He's feeling labor pains for them, for the Galatians. He's feeling agony for the Galatians. He says, "This is. I'm constrained. I just worry for you. Until you completely are formed in the completeness of the Lord. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. I want to be there for him because it cost him. You know, Paul experienced that, brothers and sisters, when the Lord met him in Damascus. The Lord knocked him off his horse." And he told him, go to the straight road, and they're in the house of Judas. Can you imagine somebody taking in this guy that's blind? He's got a bunch of soldiers with him. Judas had to be a Christian. Judas had to be a man willing to open his doors for Saul of Tarsus. And there he sat. For 2 or 3 days. That hospitality. while over here Ananias was in revival, Ananias was in the church, and then all of a sudden the Lord says, Ananias, I want you to go to the straight road, and there's a house, Judas's house, and there's a man named Saul of Tarsus. No. That's where we come, our resistance comes in. No, not me, Lord. I'm not that kind of personality. I'm one of those introverted guys that, remember we spoke about that the other day? Oh, Ananias, go. Because he's a great instrument, and he's going to stand before the Gentiles and the Jews. He's going to suffer for me. He's going to do all these kinds of things. If Jude wouldn't have opened up, if Judas wouldn't open up his house, if Ananias wouldn't have followed, and this is how he walks in. He walks in. He's afraid. He tells God he kills people. He's telling Jesus he persecutes him and drags him. And I don't want to go. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But God had a purpose. You know, I stopped to think about that. Why doesn't God just send an angel? Huh? Why doesn't God just, pew, there's an angel. Why doesn't he bring down an angel from heaven every Sunday and preach to you all? Huh? Some of you would probably bring your rosary and soon as they hear, oh, there's an angel. Oh, my goodness. Think about it. Why is God not doing that kind of stuff? Like bringing me, you know, let me, I'm a big, you know, the Bible says in the Garden of Eden, there was an archangel that stood in the mouth of Eden. So the man and the woman wouldn't come back. There's a sword. He said, I want to get you out of here. Huh? Why is that? He chooses you and me. He chooses instruments that will be able to reach out to the individual, to the human race. He doesn't need angels. He's got the angels already here. He's living in people. He's the power of the Holy Ghost is in you and I. Yeah, Lord, why couldn't I marry an angel? You did. Excuse me. You did. You did marry an angel. Yes. Amen. Why? Paul had firsthand experience. Paul had firsthand experience that, you know, the Lord had opened up the doors of heaven. Amen. This is a nice verse. Beautiful verse. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Can you envision God inclining to you? Can you do that? Can you imagine the Lord going down there and saying, yes, mijito, what do you want? Yes, mijita, what do you want? You know, I waited patiently. So that's good. And he heard my cry. He inclined unto me. And what did he do? He brought me up also out of the horrible pit. Yeah, he brought me out. Out of the horrible pit, and he set my feet upon a rock. He put me on solid ground. He put me on something strong, something. I was weak. I was lost. I didn't know my way. I was, everything I tried was wrong, but he picked me up, and then he put me on a rock, on something solid, and then he says, and he established my goings. I want you to think of this. Oh, here we go. This thing's not working now. Can you do the next one? Okay. I want you to replace God with you. Somebody is waiting for you. God has prepared you to be there. Cornelius was a devout man. Peter was a spiritual man. And they had to meet. Again, Peter wasn't so willing. He saw a vision. He saw a vision. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know. I don't have an iPhone, but I know you can get on your iPhone and call the person, and you can see the other person. What's that called? What's that? FaceTime. I have an Android. Sorry, Sandra. When Brother Ernie plays Kahoot, I think Kahoot likes iPhones better than Android, because I never win. I never win. My wife says, your phone is too small. And I said, no, Kahoot just doesn't like Androids. I don't know. That's a... FaceTime. God was FaceTiming back in those days. Yeah. What happened? He's showing Peter Cornelius is coming. And God is showing Cornelius Peter. He's at the house. And there he is. God is here. And God's in the middle. What I'm trying to say is he's preparing. He prepared Cornelius. He prepared Peter for them to meet. He's preparing you. Somebody out there needs you. Somebody out there sees your face. God is implying, God is telling that you need to talk to this person. You need someone in your life. And God is telling you today that you are that person.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Peter recognized that. I mean, Paul recognized that too. When he got baptized, you know, like I told you, the Lord spoke to him. He went to Ananias came to him, and he was in Judas' house. Well, he got converted. He was among the brethren, but the brothers were scared of him. They didn't want anything to do with this man that was out there killing Christians, and all of a sudden he's converted. Oh, no, that's not right. He's still a bad dude. They needed another individual, Barnabas. Barnabas came. He came to look for him. The Bible says Barnabas came to look to Tarsus to look, or Damascus to look for Saul. Wow. When's the last time you visited somebody? Hey, brother, I just came to visit. I just came to see. You know, we got so many ways of doing communication nowadays. Okay, you have the phone, you have emails, you have, like I just said, iPhones and you know, text, and even just send a picture, and then you have Facebook, and then you have Instagram, and then you have, I think I downloaded this morning, Snapchat, TikTok. Ooh, you can communicate so many ways. You don't have to go door knocking. You can just text them, hey, buddy, haven't seen you in a while. How you doing? I've received phone calls through Facebook. Somebody doesn't know my number, but they know I'm on Facebook. They get on Facebook. You can dial a number through Facebook. Come on. There's no excuses now. Oh my goodness. Amen. So when Barnabas came and spoke to him. Amen. And when he was baptized, and he introduced him to the brethren. Some people say it was 11, 12 years went by until this happened, because they were still afraid of him. So the Lord chose Barnabas to come in. He was the son of consolation. That's the surname that they give him. Hey, surname. Okay. So what I'm asking you to do is look at this. Somebody out there is saying, maybe some of you can attest that you were this person. I waited patiently for you, and you inclined unto me. You reached out to me. You bowed down to me. You listened to me. And you helped me. You helped me. You drove me around. How many of you, don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have never picked up somebody to bring to church? Like somebody that needs, somebody from the church or somebody relative, or that you've never done that. We used to do that. I mean, we still do. We still can, but we live so far. But just pick up. You know how it is? You have to get ready sooner. Well, no. You have to get up sooner, and you have to go over there. You pick them up, you know, you bring them. Amen. And after church, you wait for them or whatever. And that gesture. I remember we were bringing a brother from Atwater. We would pick him up, and my boys were little. And this guy, we really liked him. He was a young man, and I used to give him a surname, or I called him Bo Jackson. We'd pick him up, and one of my boys was little. He was sitting in the back seat. We were driving to church, and my son says, "Hey, brother, you know what my dad calls you?" My wife and I, our eyes got this big. "He calls you Bo Jackson." Oh, my goodness. He goes to that church over there now. He'll tell you. He gives us a big hug. He loves us. But anyway, you pick him up. Can you do that? Will you? Have you done that? What is it that God is asking you to do? He says, you heard my cry. They're crying, brother and sister. They're yearning. There's a longing in their heart. And you and I are the ones. We have to reach out. You helped me out of the horrible pit, out of the situation that I was. You know, I was reading that Jesus says in the last days he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. Wow. And you know, we're always the sheep. I love that. You're proud of the sheep. And when the sheep, to the sheep he tells them, "Where were you when I was hungry?" Not the goats, the sheep. "Where were you when I was in jail? Did you visit me? When you saw me naked, did you put a robe on me? Did you give me clothes? Were you there? Did you house me?" Said, "Lord, Lord, where did we see you? When did we see you?" And the Lord says, "When you see one of those little ones, you do it unto them, you're doing it unto me." That's the sheep, not the goats. The goats, it goes on to tell you, sad. But where are we in that situation? You know, I was prejudiced against homeless people until I started working with them, understanding them, carrying them around. That was my job, giving them this, giving them that, just reaching out to them. You really don't understand the homeless community until you're in the middle of that. Some people they start out living in their car, and after they can't live in their car, they have to find shelter somewhere under the bridge. And there's a community of them. When they go to court, they all go to court. They call that's my street mom. Street mom. It's the older woman that takes care of them like a child and holds them, cooks for them, and does all those kinds of things. But thank God that God broke me from that. I'll give somebody money with the, you know, if I stop on the freeway and there's somebody, I'll give. But you know, where do we stand in that? Where are we? Nakedness, you know, people, you give your clothes to the Salvation Army. Just donate it, give it to them. We had a coworker that she would give us almost brand new clothes here because we had a clothes closet for our clients. And I want to give. It's no longer just me. It's I want to give. I want to help. I want to reach out. That's the mentality. That's the mentality. If the praise team could come up and we'll sing that, you're my brother, you're my sister, or something like that. Sister's been around a long time. She knows the song. And you help me set my feet upon a rock, and you help me establish my goings, my way. You're here today because somebody did that for you. Amen. We're here today because somebody reached out and grabbed and touched you, did that for you. Now, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Am I responsible? And God is saying, yes, you're responsible. And God would say, because the blood of Abel cries out unto me and to heaven. The blood of these individuals are crying out to God. Where is my Ananias? Where is my Peter? Where is Judas? Where is Cornelius? Oh, where are those people? He's putting your life. It could be your relatives. It could be your neighbor. Oh, please have the sensitivity that we can draw closer together. Closer together. And I love the ability to go to a friendship group because that's the object of the friendship group, to make friends, to pray for them, to hear their call, to hear their need. So many that are in, there's so many on drugs and so many in jail, so many individuals that we need to pray. If we can't go, you can get on your knees and travail. Who's my brother? God is asking you, where's your brother? Where's your sister? He's asking you, where's your son? Where's your daughter? He's asking you, where's your grandson? Where's your granddaughter? Don't turn around and say, am I my brother's keeper? And God will say, yes, you are. You're the body of Christ. You're the body that reaches out and draws me. There's a little verse in Spanish, a psalm that says, El que habita al abrigo del Altísimo morará bajo la sombra del Omnipotente. He that dwelleth in the presence of the Most High. But in Spanish it says, he that dwelleth in the embrace of the Most High. Bring them to the feet of Jesus. Bring them to the realm of Jesus. Bring them. Draw them together. Draw closer to your brother, to your sister that sits right there. Just hug him. Just say, brother, I'm praying for you. Pray for me. Pray for you. Don't have to tell him for what to say. Pray for me. And you that are spiritual, come and pray with them at the altar. Lift up their hands and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I want to just support you, brother. Just hug them and say, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. Can we do that? Are you my brother's keeper? Let us stand. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for Judas opening the door for Saul of Tarsus. Thank you for Ananias going to preach and to touch and to pray. Thank you for Peter finally getting the message after three times. There's a knock at the door. There's Cornelius. Thank you, Lord, that with gentleness, Paul was reaching out until that congregation became complete in him. Help me be my brother's keeper. Help me be my brother's keeper. In Jesus' name we ask. Would you come?
You need.
Would you lay your burdens down? Would you help someone carry their burden?
Stand with.
Could you come? Would you come?
Agree with me. We'll
just feel the pain.
I need you to